everybody. Welcome back to We Are the Batman. I'm Mike.
And this is Matthew.
We are back once again for the end of the month breakdown. This time, as you guys know, we're breaking down the origins of Gotham's favorite Bat family. Last time we did Batman Year One, and we're continuing that story now with Batman Year Two, which was released in 1987, was written by Mike Barr with artwork by Alan Davis, Todd McFarlane, Paul Neary, Alfredo Alcala, Richard Starkings, Augustine Moss, John Costanza, Todd Klein, Adrian Roy, and edited by the legendary Denny O'Neill. Absolute hero of DC Comics and Marvel Comics for that matter. This was the while this one has been collected, it also just kind of ran as part of just its own little Detective Comics series from 575 to 578. And it was the loose source material for the adaptation Batman Mask of the Phantasm. Loose is definitely the way I'm putting that, as well as another animated thing that we'll talk about in a little bit too. I'm wondering if Matt knows what I'm talking about.
I think so, yes,
he does too. It also spawned a quote-unquote one-shot sequel called Batman Full Circle that continued to be adapted into other things later on. Again, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Matt, what is your history with Year Two?
So we've kind of gone back and forth on things I've read and things I haven't read. And it was basically like, I read a lot of the Batman individual comics here and there, but I wasn't consistently reading it. So I think what it was is this is one of those things where after it had come out, because I remember Batman Year One coming out and reading parts of it. I remember The Dark Knight Returns coming out and reading parts of it. And then I don't think I went back to the Batman comic until Year Three.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I read issues here and there, but Batman Year Three is the one that kind of really re-engages me with Batman, but with and Nightwing and getting back into reading a lot of comics at that time, because I was only reading like Thor and probably like Transformers comics at this time. Gotcha. So it's not until I read this and I start really kind of branching out, go do X-Men following Jim Lee, blah, blah, yaggity, schmaggity. So I read it after the fact, and I think I read it because Alan Davis, I was a huge fan of Alan Davis from his work on Excalibur and X-Men. Mm-hmm. But I think if memory serves, there's four issues. Todd McFarlane does the first issue, and I think the first cover, maybe two of the covers. And then Alan Davis does the other three. And it's just weird because his art style is kind of there, but not as complete as it is in Excalibur and his stuff later.
Yeah.
But I think he does a really good job at the thing. It's just a really weird, like, Batman Year One is very defining of Batman's origin.
Yeah.
Batman Year Two just kind of feels like, hey, people liked Year One. Let's do a Year Two. And like it was supposed to be something, and I just don't think it resonates very well.
McFarlane does the last three. Barr and McFarlane do the last three. The first one's Barr and Davis.
Okay, so I have it backwards. Okay. So I think what it is I think like the story didn't do what it should have done, which is kind of give you another chapter in what makes Batman who he is. Which is more egregious in a way to me, because then when you watch something like Batman, the Mask of the Phantasm, you're like, that's how it's done.
Yeah. There were definite narrative choices made for Mask of the Phantasm. Kind of like when we talked about The Long Halloween, we talked about how the book was good, but the ending was too messy. It was too complicated, too messy by half. And I feel like Year Two is kind of the opposite problem. It's too simple by half. Like you find out pages into the first issue that Judson's the Reaper. You know from like the beginning of the first book he's the Reaper. It's not. It's when it's revealed later. It's like, yeah, no, we know that's not a secret. Yeah. And I know comics are that's more of a comic thing than a movie thing, but it does lead to an ultimate really good misdirect in the movie of Mask of the Phantasm, where it's actually in the movie it's Andrea, not
the love interest.
the love interest, not whatever her name is in year two. I forget all of a sudden. Rachel. It's not Rachel.
So I think what we need to do is do this. I'm sorry, not to interrupt too bad.
No, please.
So Maxica the Phantasm is nearly, like, outline-wise, year two.
From a strictly bullet point, broad strokes, plot summary perspective, Mask of the Phantasm is year two. You remove the Leslie Tompkins stuff, and you remove the Joe Chill stuff, and you change the ending a little bit, and it's the same thing.
It's
in the names.
Yeah, it's essentially, instead of it being the dad, it's the love interest.
Yeah,
that's who ends up being the vigilante that he's going against
in the movie. Yeah, what was clever in the movie was they used the same. Stacy Keach was the voice of her father. They used him as the voice actor for the Phantasm as a nice misdirect.
Yeah.
Leading into it being Andrea, or as it's known in the comic, as Rachel Caspian. Here's what I'll say about year two as a book. Mask of the Phantasm did it better.
Correct.
Yeah, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It just doesn't live up to the kind of, like, dynamic storytelling that was year one. This was very much just, you can tell that this was written by fans of year one. This was not written by Frank Miller in any way, shape, or form. He had nothing to do with this book. It's clear it was written by people who were fans of it, but they just didn't fully, I mean, they're not Frank Miller. They're not Frank Miller is what it comes down to.
Well, and I think too is, like, what's it called? Like, Frank Miller said, I want to do Batman's origin. I have a really good idea. And they said, go.
Yep.
Someone went and told Mike Barr, we need a year two story. Mm-hmm. And whether they gave him that idea or he came up with it. So I think there's a difference in, like, you're not really telling to me when I read this comic, because it's the year two, you're not adding to his mythos.
So originally, I'm looking up here right online. So originally the story was just pitched by Barr as just Batman 1980. That's all it was meant to be. It wasn't meant to be a year two. It was just meant to be another story. And then when it was released, by DC as year two to coincide with the release of year one. So Frank Miller put out year one, and then they turned to Barr and said, hey, you're working on Detective Comics right now. Write a continuation for the next chapter and what Frank Miller's doing. And they were like, what? You want me to sequel Frank Miller as he's coming out? As he's being that. So you've got to figure, unless they were writing in tandem with each other, he was probably writing this because it has no connection to year one.
Not at all. No.
None whatsoever. So it feels to me like they wrote this independently of each other, which is why I think it partially feels so disconnected and just kind of not all put together. It's because it was written, it was released as a, and pitched as a sequel, as a follow-up to year one. It was written at the same time, it sounds like, and they had nothing to do with each other.
Yeah. So what I kind of looked at something. So what it is, year one is in the Batman comic series.
Yes.
Year two is taking place in the Detective comic series.
Yeah.
And I see what you're like. They're probably coming out simultaneously. So it's a weird, like, I think, like I said, when you do it right, or there's no year one comic, this probably resonates more, like with Mask of the Phantasm. Mask of the Phantasm, for lack of a better term, is a latter chapter of Batman's origin that concretes the fact you're never going to be happy.
Basically. Yeah. You don't get to be Batman and have a good life. That's not, you don't get to have it both ways. You have a choice. Yeah. You can go live a normal life, or you can be Batman.
Yeah.
That's the choice.
So
I think because Mask of the Phantasm is also made for kids, I think they just kind of cut out some of the fluff. Cause I think the book sometimes gets a little too lost in its own, like, in its own mystery and its own intrigue. And it's like, this really isn't that deep of a story.
Yeah. Well, and it's also Mask of the Phantasm's two different timelines. You have 5 or 10 years before and current time, whereas Batman year two is just everything in the past.
Is it?
I believe so.
I always interpreted it as year two was because the book opens with Gordon telling his story of, like, becoming commissioner and working with the Batman. I always interpreted year two as this is Gordon telling that story on the TV show, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, and I mean more like there isn't anything that happens in year two that is in a different timeline.
Oh, right, right. Because it's a year after year one. So yes. It's too new in his career. Like he's still contemplating his whole no kill, no guns thing.
Correct. Whereas Mask of the Phantasm, you've got Batman, young Batman, older Batman. This is just same Batman year two throughout the entire story.
Which I think is probably what makes the movie work better, is because we get to have the Batman we know as opposed to a Batman who's still figuring his stuff out. And there's a place for that in movies like Batman Begins and The Batman. But when I'm watching a story, like when I'm reading a story like this, I mean, Batman at times just kind of seems like he doesn't know what he wants to do. And at this point in Batman's career, we know who Batman's supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah, so, exactly.
And also the incorporation of Joe Chill in this thing was odd. I don't know. Yeah. I feel like they did a better job of tying this back to Batman's origin, which is something I think Mask of the Phantasm, if it had had another 30 minutes, could have really done well. Because Joe Chill and Leslie Tompkins are not in the movie. I dare say, other than how his origin relates to Andrea Beaumont, Batman's origin isn't as big a part of Phantasm as people really think it is. It's mostly just about the mystery of who the Phantasm is.
Yeah, I mean more like you get this, like you've got the, yeah, not the origin, but like a story that tells you how he is where he is.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense.
You know what I mean? You've got the origin of the Batmobile.
The origin of the Batmobile and the Bat Signal. Not opposed to that at all.
It's kind of like a weird, because he also does some year one stuff in that movie. It's interesting. But no, I don't think it's I think you're right. It's not horrible. It's just not as, because I really like year three, but that's a given because it's about Nightwing.
Right.
And
we'll talk about that next month.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next month. But I think when you read this and you're like, oh, it's Mask of the Phantasm, I'll just watch Mask of the Phantasm again. It's and the design of the Reaper is like, oh, you guys watch Dracula. mm-hmm. I mean, even though I think it predates Dracula the movie, but that's what it just looks like, is the Francis Ford Coppola Dracula armor with a black cape. It's just a weird kind of. The only part of it that's interesting to me, which they kind of touch on but gets lost nowadays because it's not the case, is like, this is back when Batman's suit is just cloth.
Yeah, it's not armor.
It's not armor at all. So he's fighting somebody who's armored. So he's trying to integrate some of that stuff, which I think is really.
There's literally a panel where he's like, he's wearing leather armor. He's going to be harder to take out. Yeah. Like, it's a whole thing.
So I think.
Go ahead.
No, I just think that it's interesting to read that now and go like, oh yeah, like pre Batman the movie, Batman doesn't have armor. He's just in spandex. Yeah.
I hate the design of the Reaper. I'm not going to lie.
It's not good.
The Phantasm is a much better look. The Reaper is a okay name. Like, again, if this had just been released as just not year two, I think I would have liked it more.
Yeah.
I do like the design of the Phantasm better. I also like that because the Reaper looks so drastically different in this book, the fact that the only reason the cops turn on Batman is because of Joe Chill dying.
Yeah.
Is to me dumb. It's like, well, no, anyone who's standing right there can see Batman had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
And it's more interesting in Mask of the Phantasm when it's, no, here's a character that kind of looks like Batman. So that's why people are confused. He's moving in the shadows, using a deep voice, got a black, this weird kind of, you know, demon looking cloak, using smoke to escape. I mean, acting like Batman, if Batman killed the Reaper, is nothing like Batman.
Yeah.
Other than he lurks in the shadows. So having that be a factor in the movie made it was just more interesting. I'm like, yeah, no, I believe that people think this is Batman.
Yeah.
I do not for a second in this book believe, like, oh, well, Batman must be working with the Reaper. Why? Yeah. Because Joe Chill died? What does that have to do with anything?
Yeah, so. It's a bit odd, to say the least. But it's not, it's like, I think for me, this is one of those things, it's an interesting read. It's only four issues.
Yeah.
And it's a fun conversation piece.
It's easy to blow through. And I will say, have you read Full Circle? The kind of sequel to Year Two, as it were?
I feel like I have, but I'm not 100% sure, because that's the one where he comes back, right? The Reaper.
It's Joe Chill's son. And that's kind of what I was getting at, was basically Joe Chill's son saw the death of Joe Chill at the hands of the Reaper, thought it was Batman. Joe Chill's body was never recovered, so Batman thinks he's back as the Reaper, but it's actually Chill's son. It's basically, again, elements of Year Two and Full Circle are basically what they use. I alluded to this earlier. It's what they used for Chill of the Night and Brave of the Bold.
Gotcha.
Like, when you watch Chill of the Night, most of that story is pulled from Year Two and Full Circle.
Yeah.
Like the whole sequence where he's like, I've got Chill held questions and I'm going to show him who I am and I'm going to fucking kill him because he killed my parents. I mean, we know that's in Chill of the Night. But more stuff from that comes from Full Circle. First, Full Circle also incorporates Dick Grayson Robin into the story, and he basically just, I don't know. Full Circle is okay. It's a little bit of The Cult. It's a little bit of like a Scarecrow story, because like Batman gets doped and Robin has to come snap him out of it. And I'm like, we did this.
Yeah.
we did this with Jason in The Cult. So it's fine. Again, it's just one of those, like, it's just kind of, Full Circle really is just, as much as Year Two is just kind of its own thing, Full Circle is just kind of a rehash of Year Two. It's just kind of same bullet point, same basic story, except Robin's involved and Batman's not the one getting revenge. Chill's son is. And I'm like, that's dumb.
Yeah, you're banking on this thing. Let's just go ahead and let it go.
That's dumb. So, I'm not mad. I read Year Two over the years and I reread it for this. It's just, man, Mask of the Phantasm. Like, the whole time I was reading it, I was like, I could just watch Mask of the Phantasm and I'd probably be fine, honestly. It's just, I know it came first. Mask of the Phantasm did it better. It's just not, it's good. It's fine. Again, bullet point wise, like, it's an interesting story. It's just, I don't know, weird choices and designs, weird. Again, having it just be her dad at the end. It's like, we learned that like on the fifth page that it's him. Why did it take us 4 issues for Batman to figure out? Batman doesn't figure out it's Judson until the end.
Yeah.
Like right as he's falling off the building. Spoilers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's dumb. Batman could have figured that out by now. Come on. Really?
See, now I want to read Full Circle. I wonder if it's on the app.
Yeah, it might be. You'd have to look. I read it years ago. Like, I think after I read Year Two. So I do, but I also, here are some things I do like from this story. I love Leslie Tompkins' inclusion in this, because yes, Leslie's not in the movie, and she's introduced fairly early in the show, right?
Like partway through season one.
So she was introduced, so she could have been in the movie, but again, the movie was meant to be easily digestible for kids, so cutting out. She's only got a couple of appearances in the animated series anyway, so that wasn't as big. I will say, but I liked her involvement. I liked that she was very much a part of this origin between Bruce and Rachel. I wonder if Rachel was who they used as inspiration for Rachel in the Nolanverse, like loosely. I doubt it. There's no way.
I mean, there's no telling.
There's really no telling. But I liked that. I liked that it was Batman contemplating the usefulness of a gun, which is something that actually gets done in that Batman Gotham Knight anime anthology that came out around the time of The Dark Knight. There's a whole section of it where it's just Batman, like every time he takes a gun off somebody, he keeps it and he just like studies them and is like, again, it's part of that world's greatest technique. He's fascinated by how guns work and the usefulness of them, not so much the killing portion of them.
Yeah. There's an issue of Nightwing where Nightwing talks about like when he first becomes a cop.
Oh, yeah.
He's like a marksman. And they're like, how'd you know? Then he just like reflects back of like, yeah, Batman made him learn how to use guns.
Yeah.
How to shoot them, how to disassemble them. And then like, oh, yeah. And then tomorrow we're going to learn how to throw them. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a great issue of Nightwing when he's first contemplating becoming a cop. He's working as a bartender or something like that. And he mentions becoming a cop, and I think Bruce is the one who tells him, like, you know, you'll have to carry a gun, right? And Dick's like, yeah, carry it. I use it.
Yeah.
I have to use it. Yeah. But anyway, so I like that, but I like that that's a thing, is you know, and the fact that he still has the Joe Chill gun, you know, that's something that doesn't always get brought up in Batman stories, is that he kept the gun. I don't know if this was ever considered official, but I know at one point they were talking about how Robert Pattinson's bat symbol, his big utility knife that he has, was made from the pieces of the gun that killed his parents. And that's obviously not explored in the movie, but if that is true, that would explain why it's bulletproof, because he gets shot right in it and nothing happens. Well, yeah, it's a gun. I hope to God a gun is bulletproof, because bulletproof enough. But yeah, so like elements of this story are things that do come back later in other Batman mythos. It's just this particular execution is just not everything it could be. It's done better as a 90-minute animated movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the thing, is I think sometimes you get this really cool baseline story, and then another writer comes in and is able to take it a different direction, take a step beyond. And I think that's what's happened here, is you've got a decent story, and then Mask of the Phantom just takes it over the top and makes it amazing.
Well, and you also get with these books a similar situation to what happened with like the Star Wars prequels, where it's like everybody write their own and we'll just put them out and hope to God it makes a coherent story.
You mean the sequels?
What did I say? The prequels?
Yeah.
I meant the sequels.
I mean, neither one of them are coherent, but.
Well, the sequels are at least all done by the same guy, or the prequels are at least all done by the same guy. And then year three doesn't come out for another, 2 years after this? So, and we'll talk about that next time, obviously. But so it's just kind of similar to that story, where it's like, yeah, they were like, hey, what is it? It's Mike Barr. Hey, Mike, listen. We got the Frank Miller working on Batman's origin right now. Oh my God, dude, that's so cool. That's so cool, because you already did the Dark Knight Returns, which is Batman's end. It was the Batman's beginning. Great, cool. Yeah, we want you to do the follow-up. Oh my God, you mean Frank Miller's already came out? No, he's writing it right now. Oh, you want me to write it with him? No, write your own.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Do something different. What?
No, and we'll just hope to God it works. So yeah, it was an interesting choice, but it was the 80s. We were still kind of figuring this out at the time. So ultimately, you know, to tie everything up, put a nice bow on it. Like, I dig it. I dig year two. There's not a ton of depth to it, though, is the problem. It's like we talked way more about year one, because year one's got layers and depth to it. And it's got arcs and character growth and character development. And year two is just kind of a Batman story.
Yeah.
It's just a Batman story. There's nothing really like groundbreaking with it, or like particularly like special, because it doesn't even have Robin in it. You know, Robin gets introduced to this story in Full Circle, and then comes up in year three. But like year two is still just, I know it's a Batman comic, but it's like they didn't really introduce. Because Leslie Tompkins already in the comics, the Reaper obviously isn't going to stick around. You know, Rachel not going to, like, it doesn't introduce anything new or substantial to Batman's mythos that we can go, oh, that's, it's not like the Reaper or Rachel were like a long standing, and now we get there, or it's not like we find out how Leslie comes into Batman's life. It's just, she's just there. Rachel's just there. Judson's already been there. All this has already happened off screen. It's like, cool, this is a sequel to something we haven't seen.
Yeah. Or if any of these characters ever came back and were influential in other things that happened.
Yeah. You know. Like I'm sitting here going, like, none of these characters have ever come back. Like, closest thing is Mask of the Phantasm. And even that's a character that only recently started getting like mainstream comic inclusion. Up till this point, Andrea Beaumont's never been anything more than an Easter egg. You know, she's got a no dialogue cameo in the Secret Batman Beyond finale. There's an Easter egg for her in the Arkham Origins video game. And allegedly we might be getting some version of it in the Matt Reeves verse, but that is such a sawmill rumor that I hate even bringing it up, honestly.
Yeah.
So like I know she's in the comics now, but that's now. Like yeah. It's been years, and even after Phantasm was such a huge hit, it still took decades to get that character incorporated. So I think this is one of those stories that's just going to end up, this is one of those Batman stories that I honest to God feel like is going to get lost to time. I feel like we're only maybe a decade or so away from people forgetting this happened. I yeah. really do.
Oh no, no one. I mean, that's a, you're right. No one talks about this story.
No. Same way, and nobody talks about year three.
Yeah. The only thing that this story, I think the only legacy of this story is the cover that I think it's Todd McFarlane or is it Alan Davis, where he's got the gun holster on his chest and he's holding the gun up.
I think
like that, that was like a Batman image for a long time that people like. It's like, why the hell did he have a gun?
All those covers were so like holy, that's the problem. That's the big bummer. It's like the books don't deliver on the covers.
Yeah.
The covers offer one idea of a Batman story and the books deliver something else. So it's weird because I was looking on Wikipedia for these. And what was wild was, and this is nerdy of me, but I had to go in and edit Wikipedia to include Mask of the Phantasm and Robin's Reckoning in year two and year three's Wikipedias because these are such forgotten about stories.
Yeah. That nobody links.
No one ever made those connections. And I'm like, well, that's actually good, important information. People still go check out stuff about Robin's Reckoning and Mask of the Phantasm. So I went in and edited Wikipedia and added those to the entries in the hopes that maybe it will help just kind of keep this as much as mixed as I am on it. I still don't think it should go away because it is still a part of the origin. And I do think that because Phantasm adapted it so well, that means there's obviously a good story here.
Yeah.
So maybe this is one that can get a direct animated adaptation. Maybe this is another one they can pull from for inspiration for another movie. I don't see any reason why this story needs to get lost to time. It just needs improved upon.
Well, I think it's, I know we keep bringing it up, but I think it's the same thing with year three. They're not going to do year three because Robin Reckoning is such an amazing
It did it best. It absolutely did. I had on a VHS tape, this is how old I am, I had Robin's Reckoning parts 1 and 2 taped on a VHS as a kid, and I watched them because this is back when you couldn't stream shit. You never knew when that episode was going to be on again, and like most kids, Robin was my favorite because I was 5, and and so like my mom would always just peruse the TV guide because it would show you like what episodes were coming up, and she would always look for Robin's Reckoning because she knew I wanted to watch that one so that I could get it videotaped so I could watch it again and again and again and again and again.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about year three and Robin's Reckoning next in May. Tying a bow on year two and Mask of the Phantasm, I think it would just be like if you are morbidly curious. Year two is all 4 issues are on the DC Universe Infinite app, or you could just watch Mask of the Phantasm.
Well, and the other thing too, same with like Batman Year Three is like because they never went anywhere. Like you could probably find these in your comic bin for nothing.
Yeah,
you might pay cover price.
You sent me hard copies of Year Three.
Yeah, and they were nothing. They were like nothing. $20.
Yeah.
For 4, like that's the price of a comic now.
And I can't in all good conscience recommend Batman Full Circle because again, it's just year 2 all over again. It's the same thing. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. That's kind of where I'm at with year 2, man. It's just I don't have much else to say. I know this is a short one. I know this is a breakdown, but like guys, like it's just there's not much here.
Yeah.
I think year 3 is deeper, but not much. But that's also because you've got the benefit of another lead character.
Yeah. Year 3 is a much better story, but again, lost to time. All right. Well, that's our discussion.
That's what we really don't have much to say on this. I know it seems like kind of a bummer, but it's like, that's kind of the risk you take with these breakdowns sometimes. And sometimes, guys, they're just not that good.
Yeah.
They're just not that good. And honestly, but also, this wasn't so offensively bad that I can trash on it for it's like no, it is a 30-minute conversation's worth of meh.
Yeah,
it's just go watch Mask of the Phantasm. It's better. I can only say that so many times, guys. Have you?
Wait, hold on.
Oh,
go ahead. No. Go ahead. I was gonna say let's segue into watching stuff.
Yeah.
Let's roast me a little.
Let's not. Let's not. Guys, let us know what you think of Batman Year 2. Let us know. Did you read the book? Do you like Mask? I mean, we've talked about Mask of the Phantasm on this show a lot, so I assume you like it. But let us know what you think. If you're watching this on YouTube, let us know in the comments. If you're on Facebook, please make sure you guys leave a comment. Let us know on social media. We are on Instagram now, WATB Pod, as well as Facebook. I hate both of those usernames, but it's what I could get. Who else has We Are the Batman as an Instagram handle? Who the fuck else has that as an Instagram handle? Follow us on there, guys. You can always follow me on social media at Mr. Mike Shea.
You can follow me on Twitter at Mr. J Ninja.
That is going to do it for this week's episode of We Are the Batman. We'll see you again next time. Same bat time, same bat podcast channel.
Bye-bye.